Welcome to the Cadet Architects podcast show, where we highlight the great teaching and learning that happens at Mill Creek Community Schools in West Central Indiana. Welcome to episode number 4 of the Cadet Architects podcast. I am here with Hillary Carpenter and Ben Nielsen, and I'm Matt. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm a district e-coach, tech coach, innovative learning specialist, all fancy words for I just help people in the classroom. In other words, we are going to get to talk to these two amazing people. And first off, let's introduce, we'll start with Ben. I want to introduce yourself.
All right. My name is Ben Nielsen. This is my 5th year at Cascade as a middle school teacher. Before this, I worked at some other schools in Indiana, worked a little bit at Danville, actually worked a little bit at high school here, and worked in Wayne at one of the middle schools there. But before that, I actually taught overseas. So I spent 6 years teaching in the Czech Republic in Prague. Here at Cascade, I am a swim coach. So I do that as well as teach. And yeah, that's a little bit about myself. Hillary?
All right. I'm Hillary Carpenter. I'm the 8th grade language arts teacher here at the middle school, and Ben and I co-teach the PACE class. I've also been at Cascade for 5 years, and before working here, I worked 1 year in Greenwood as a 7th grade language arts teacher. In addition to teaching, I'm also the assistant cross-country coach for our middle school team here at Cascade, and then I'm one of the head track and field coaches in the spring. So I think that's it.
Whoop, whoop. Awesome. All right, so Hillary, you mentioned PACE class. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what PACE class is, what it stands for, what happens, all that good stuff.
All right, so our PACE class here is offered as a high school credit class for current 8th grade students, so they can earn some high school credit before moving on to the actual Cascade High School. So PACE stands for Perspectives in American Civics Education. So it's a class that Ben and I co-teach together. It follows the chronological pattern of history leading up to the Civil War. It's the last big topic that we talk about in 8th grade with our kids. It's a lot of projects, so we have a lot of freedom for our students to actually, instead of studying history, to create it with our project-based learning. We do 2 big projects throughout the year. 1 big project is in the fall semester, then the other one is in the spring.
Nice. Ben, all right, so what are some goals that we have for PACE class as you kind of go through it?
Well, Hillary hit the big highlight here, which is we want students to be makers of history and not just like passive listeners of it. I think why kids don't like history is they think it's just about memorizing a bunch of stuff and they get bored with it. So we're trying to change that. We're trying to make as much as possible. Of course, we still, you know, we still tell them some stuff and sometimes they still have to sit and listen to me. But as much as possible, we try to help them to create something that will show them important aspects of being a historian. Like we'll get into some of these projects later, but they'll do some of the same things. Like they will research, they will create, you know, scans of history, things. They will do the work of an actual historian. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. So that's one of our big goals here. We also just want them to kind of broaden their mind a little bit. We want them to be able to share ideas. We have debates in this class. So we want them to be able to learn what it's like to express yourself, but to also listen to other people's opinions and to be able to have meaningful dialogues with people.
All right, so PACE class is, I guess both of you teach regular classes as well. So Hillary, you'll teach language classes, and then Ben will teach a typical social studies class throughout the day. PACE class is kind of like a 2-hour block, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you co-teach that together. All right, cool. And that's a focus of what we're doing, or kind of a focus in the middle school this year is co-teaching. And so that's kind of why I asked both of them to be on, because they're resident awesomeness in co-teaching, which is great. So Hillary, how do you balance preparing for PACE, but then also for your own language art class, which is probably a little bit different?
Yeah. So with PACE, we mainly study four different novels throughout the year that are more young adult novels and also novels that oftentimes the kids read when they get to high school. So that's definitely different, kind of prepping for those higher level texts than in my other general ed classes. With my other general ed classes, we kind of focus on more of like a foundation for reading and writing, kind of working toward meeting the eighth grade standards, but maybe taking it at a slower pace than what the kids in PACE class are kind of used to and what we kind of expect from them. So with the PACE class, at least with the English standards, we give them a lot more like higher level kind of texts that they really have to analyze and pick apart to really get all the information out of it that we want them to gather from it. And with the different texts or the different kinds of books that we read, again, they're at that kind of higher level because their analytical skills should be at a pretty high level for eighth grade students since they're in our class. So we do kind of incorporate those different strategies to make sure that their thinking and reading and writing skills are on par with what is expected of them when they get into actually going to the high school.
Nice. Ben, you guys work together in PACE class. So what are some ways that you work together or balance each other out in PACE?
Well, we often in the class will have different times where one of us might be taking the lead on like teaching or discussing with the students. But during that time, it will give the other one either time to maybe individually address certain students if they need that. They can be helping with like looking at some of the grading or some of the things that we have to do. It kind of allows us a little bit more flexibility to have one of us up in front of the class doing something and the other one can be doing a little bit more behind the scenes stuff, preparing, getting things ready, organizing things. We have a lot of with the projects that we do, there's a lot of individual attention we need to spend on like the kids stuff, maybe contacting different people that are going to come to the class or do things with us. So I think it's good that it allows us the flexibility to do that, because if one of us was just trying to do all that on our own, it would be really overwhelming. So this type of class, having two teachers, allows us to do some of these bigger projects that'd be really hard to do by ourselves.
Okay, so you're both in there together. And what if this, just saying hypothetically,
sure.
How do you navigate when maybe there's a clash of stuff or when there's a conflict, not necessarily a conflict between you, but for something that you don't agree on?
What do you think?
Or luckily, maybe there is none.
Luckily, we are pretty easygoing people. And but I think what would help with that, and we were kind of getting to this earlier or later, but we'll go ahead and jump into this now maybe, is when you co-teach with somebody, I think it's really important to be able to communicate with them. And if you have an open dialogue or open communication, I think you can work through a lot of those potential issues. Right. You might not see, it's not like we see everything 100%, but I think we respect each other. We know that we can just talk to each other and we understand that it's both of our classes. So if one of us wants to do something, like we'll make time for it. Right. We'll make sure to incorporate if it's something that is important, to Hillary, we'll make sure that it fits into our schedule. And if it means I have to drop something, one little project or something I wanted to do, then that's okay, right? So I think it just comes from having an open dialogue and not being afraid to express your opinion, but also being willing to look at what somebody else thinks is important.
I definitely also think that it helped a lot for us because we came into this at the same time. Like we both started our first year together. We sat down with the administrators and they kind of laid out the plan for us and what their kind of expectations were for us. And I think we worked really closely with our admin when we first got here to kind of build the class, like using what they had as kind of like this baseline and then slowly kind of seeing what we were both good at and kind of making some tweaks and changes Definitely following that kind of baseline helped me out a lot because I never taught a class like this before. It's my first experience co-teaching. Actually, when I got here, it was only my second year teaching. So I really kind of looked to Ben because he had more experience to kind of help me. And then it just worked. So I definitely think that just having us both here as like the new person at the same time definitely helped because we had to kind of be thrown into this a little bit. So at first it was challenging, but I think we do work well together. We get along pretty well. So I think that definitely helps.
That makes it a little bit easier
when
you do get along.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess co-teaching is what you guys are doing in this PACE class. What are some things maybe that need to happen to make co-teaching successful? And we already talked about communication. Is there anything else that, you know, because the middle school is going to this year and really kind of focusing on a little bit, is there anything that you'd like to share to make it better for the other people?
I think just definitely we overplanned a lot our first year. Like I said earlier, we had that kind of baseline from the former teachers to follow. So we definitely followed that a little bit more closely than maybe what we would do in a typical school year now, just because we were kind of able to follow that outline at first. And then as we've kind of gotten to know the kids and gotten to know their interests, we've been able to kind of tweak some things, maybe add in some new projects that still meet like the rigor and the standards that are expected for our class since it is for high school credit. And also we both coach sports. So I think that in like my off season, that's when Ben coaches swimming. So we just kind of have to be flexible and know that like when the other one can't stay and maybe plan so much because they have after school activities, practices, games, meets that they have obligations to go to, that the other one steps up a little bit more and then just kind of creates that balance for like planning and prepping for the day.
Anything to add?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's great. We talked about communicating with each other. Like that's huge for us. And just knowing that there's some things that we're both going to be better at and like kind of realizing like, so maybe I might have an idea for something and like, we'll talk about it and I might start writing it, but then I'll be like, okay, Hillary, you have to fix it now. Right. So it's like, you know, I can maybe put down what I'm thinking, but I know that if Hillary gets it, she'll make it look better and she'll make it nicer and like she can go through and, you know, make those like finesse touches that will make it better than if I was doing it by myself. So I think realizing, you know, what you're better at and like what you can help with, and I think then you can kind of come up with a project or an end result that would have been better than you doing it by yourself. So just realize your strengths and weaknesses and be honest with those, and I think that helps.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help. Like if you need help, the other person's there to help you out, and they also have good ideas to contribute. So keep that in mind.
All right, the first episode of the podcast, I interviewed Mr. Crosby, and his whole thing is this year is PBL stuff, and so you guys are doing PBL here, and I know that you have two huge projects already. Ben, can you tell us about your Civil War letter project?
Sure. So Civil War letter project is actually one that we do in the second semester. So we'll start it in January when the students get back. And what we do is we started with our first year, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So this will be our fifth year. What we do is we apply for some grants and we buy actual Civil War letters. And then what we've done is we've gotten librarians from the Danville Public Library to come to the school, and they will bring scanners with them and they will help us to digitally scan these letters. And then we add them to this archive that we've made. Then what we'll do is the students will transcribe these letters, and they're all written in cursive, which most of the students don't even know. So half the time it's kind of teaching them how to read cursive, but that's fun, right? So they get to learn a new skill for some of them. And we have volunteers from the library who come and help them. So as they're trying to read these letters, it's fun to see them like discover something. They don't know what happens to their soldier. They want to see what's going to happen next. So they're kind of uncovering history. And then what we get to do is we get to put that online and make these letters available for the general public. So they're actually getting to see something that would have been maybe hidden in someone's private collection. Now we get to put it out in front of everybody. And then they get to research these soldiers, find out what happened to your soldier. What battles did they fight in? Did they live? Did they die? Right? When they came back from the war, what did they do next? Do they have any relatives that are living? This has been a really cool project. A couple years ago, we even had some students that were able to connect with a museum in Maine because they had some artifacts that are students from the guy that our students were researching. So we had a letter, and at this museum in Maine, they had a whole collection of his actual artifacts. They took a computer through Skype and went around the museum and showed our class like the different artifacts that they had. And then we were able to give them a copy of the letter because they didn't have that letter in their archive. So they got to add it to their museum. So that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get them to create something for the general public, right? Something that historians can maybe use in the future and get it out there. So that's what's exciting about our Civil War project. At the end of the year, we have a big banquet where they can show off their stuff. We make poster boards, as well as having the digital aspect. We invite people from the Hendricks County Museum to come in, and they bring artifacts from the Civil War, and we get to share it with their parents and family members from the community and show off their hard work.
So I know you mentioned Civil War letters, but these are actual Civil War letters.
These are actual Civil War letters. So the letters that we're looking at are written by actual Civil War soldiers. So they're over, 160 years old. Is that right?
Yeah,
60. Yeah.
I didn't teach math. So.
Yep, so, yeah.
All right, so that's in the spring, right?
Yes, that's the spring.
So what do we have happening right now?
All right, so right now, and this is currently in progress, we've been working on it the last couple weeks, but the students are working on creating a movie documentary called Secrets on the Shelf. So this is a special project that we just started actually a couple years ago. So the students are working in partners or in groups of three with the Hendricks County Historical Museum in Danville. And what happened with our project is that during the fall, in the first quarter, we go on a field trip to the museum in Danville. And the students are able to kind of look around the museum and then select an artifact for their group to research based on like some artifacts that the museum has already highlighted for us. So they pick their artifact first, and then they research with their partner or their small group to find out as much as they can about the history of their artifact. So they want to know like who it belonged to, if it was a certain group or a certain person, what the purpose of the artifact was, really any kind of information that they can find out, the more the better. So once they are done with their research portion, then the groups are working on creating scripts because they are going to make skits out of something to do with their artifact. So it all has to connect back to the artifact. And then what the kids are actually working on now, which what we're in the process of, is the students are working to film their skits. So we have a new updated kind of green room area that we're taking the kids down to film. And then what will happen next after that is we'll kind of combine all of their skits into one full-length movie version. That will be the class movie version for this semester with our students. And then a cool thing that we do in December is that we actually rent out the Royal Theater in Danville and have like this big kind of screening event. So it's happening December 17th this year.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Mark your calendars.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. Include that. But it's open to the students. They can bring their parents, siblings, friends that are maybe in the eighth grade but not in this class with them. We also invite community members. So we have other people that maybe have worked with us before. Our friends at the museum come. We also have people that have helped us that work at the Danville Public Library. They usually come too. And then we'll show the movie in the actual theater. So typically it's about an hour long once we compile all the kids' skits into one cohesive film and then watch it together in the theater. And then after that, we welcome the kids to bring their parents over to the historical society so they can actually show their parents the artifact that they spent the semester researching.
Nice. So they'll watch the movie and then walk over to the
Yep. That's pretty short. So
still awesome and cool that you're bringing in community people. as well. It's, you know, it's not just, this classroom isn't just the four walls. It's, it goes beyond that. Yeah.
They actually took parts of this movie last year, and they actually have put that on their website now. So if you go to the Hendricks County Historical Museum, you can actually see for each of the rooms, they like the kids' projects so much that they're actually included in there. So again, they're making something, and it's not just something that we grade in this class and it's done. It's something that's getting information out right to people.
And your audience becomes a whole lot more than the 20 kids in the classroom.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, speaking of bringing people in, Ben, I know you bring people in a lot to your class. Can you tell me a little about the impact of bringing in experts and community people on your kids?
Sure. I mean, I just think that anytime I do that, it's funny. Sometimes people say, like, exactly what I say. And I'm like, I just already, I could tell you. But as soon as you bring in somebody else, it becomes more interesting to the students. A lot of times, like, we had some reenactors from the French and Indian War that came recently. And as soon as, like, they came in, they got to bring a lot of artifacts and they got to bring things. The students remember it. I know there is one student in particular who, you know, doesn't always, he kind of, like, will try to doze off almost or try to, he's not really excited when I'm talking, but he was super excited that day because he got to go around, he got to feel, he got to touch things. So I think when you change things up like that, when you bring in an expert, it seems more real to them than just a teacher talking about it. So I love to do that. We also Skype with museums in here. So twice a year or so, I will Skype with the Virginia Historical Society, and they'll show us some of their artifacts. And it's, I think it's important for the kids to hear some of that, even if it's the same information, to hear it from a different source makes it more real to them.
They probably listen a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. We also bring in an author in our PACE class. We bring in an author who's made films, Chris Crow, who's, you know, he was the screen, he wrote the screenplay for Last of the Mohicans, and he actually comes in and he tells the students how he writes. And, you know, that I think can be inspiring to them to think, oh, hey, this is a real person. Like, maybe I could do that, you know. And he actually reads their work. We have a competition where he actually reads the students' work and chooses those that he thinks are, like, most promising. So that's a pretty exciting thing. Very few kids could probably say, oh, yeah, I had an actual director, screenwriter judge my work in the eighth grade. And I know one or two of the kids have really decided that they want to maybe be a writer after school now because of that experience. So it can be powerful.
That's awesome. Switching gears a little bit here. One part of this I like to do is just kind of highlight some specific tech stuff that you're doing in your classroom or anything else, really. Hillary, anything you'd like to share about independent reading or GimKit or anything like that that
sure.
I've heard you're doing?
Yeah. With independent reading, it's something that I do in my general education classes at least two or three times a week. So we'll do the warm-up when they come in, kind of talk about that the first 5 minutes. And then each of the students has their own independent reading book that we'll use to read in class. So it's just really 10 interrupted minutes. I'll have a little timer up there so they can keep track of the time as it ticks down. But it's just a quiet kind of way to, like, let them read something that they've actually picked out themselves and that hopefully they enjoy. So I have a lot of kids that are reading kind of more like young adult fiction, a lot of some boys are reading a lot of books that have sports tied in because that kind of connects to their own lives outside of school. But that's a really good way to just also make some personal connections with the students. I actually picked out the independent reading books from my own classroom library. So I had the students fill out this like reading survey at the beginning of the year. And then I kind of went from class to class and made like little piles of like 3 to 4 books for each kid. And then we had like a big kind of reveal day where they got their little piles and were able to like pick which book they wanted to read first. So it's just something kind of special, still like meets all the reading requirements that I'm trying to kind of introduce to the students. Also helps with just like setting some time so they can actually like hopefully enjoy what they're reading. So that's been super helpful, especially building relationships. Another good tech tool that I've kind of used a little bit more for like reviewing comprehension stories is called GimKit, which is free for the first like 5 games. They call them little gims that you make. And then after that, it becomes like the premium version. So you have to pay a certain dollar amount a month. But I like it because unlike like quizzes or like Kahoot or maybe Quizlet Live, you can actually set the time that you want the game to run. So typically I'll do like 8 minutes, 10 minutes, and then the timer ticks down. And then another aspect of the game that the kids really like is that if you answer the questions correctly, you can get money. And then you can use the money in, like, the little Gimkit store to, like, freeze people. Or, like, you can link up with people. And if, like, you get the answer right, you both get, like, a certain amount of money. If you consistently answer, like, so many questions in a row, you can get, like, a streak bonus of sorts, which the kids really like. So it's very, like, currency-based. And then the people that have the most money at the end of the time limit that you set are the winners. So it's nice because, like, what I found with, like, a game like quizzes is that the kids finish at different times and then they want to talk because they don't really know what else to do because they're waiting for everybody else to finish up. So with Gimkit, it's nice because, like, as the teacher, you can set how much time you want to spend on it. And then once the time's up, like, you're done. And then you can kind of move on as a big class as opposed to, like, trying to get other, like, individual kids when they finish and try to tell them what to do.
Nice. So that's gotta help with like end times and management and
yeah. transition. Especially if you're like, I got 5 minutes left of the class, I need something to do. Okay, we can play this for like 3 minutes and then you can wrap it up and then send them on their way.
Nice. So Gimkit gamification a little bit, which transitions to Ben, and I know he's doing Classcraft this year. So.
Yeah, Classcraft I've done for a few years now. I really like Classcraft. It's totally about gamifying the classroom. Gives students can, when they sign up, they can choose different avatars. They have three different avatars that represent like three different classes. Kind of takes place in sort of a fantasy world where you could have like a warrior, a healer, a mage. And basically it promotes kids to participate in class and to like help each other. When they do like these positive things, you can award them with experience points, which will give them, allow them to have more powers in the class, which basically just translates into different things that they can do, like things that they like you'll have things where maybe they could take an extra pass, right, or some power where they can eat in class, or maybe switch their seat for a day. That just kind of makes it a little bit more exciting, so it feels like they have some power, feels like they want to contribute. They're like, oh man, I gotta answer these questions. If I don't, I'm always gonna be in level one and I'm not gonna get all this great stuff at the end. And one thing that I do too, which I think helps, is I reward them for not using passes to leave class. So if you don't like leave class in my class or the other people's other eighth grade teachers' classes, then I'll give you a whole bunch of experience. And so I have kids that like won't use passes. They'll stay in class just so they can level up in Classcraft. Right? And it seems silly, but it's, you know, fun for them and it gets them to stay in class. And anytime we can do that, we can make class a little bit more fun. We can start out in a fun way, you know, or even end sometimes. We have like different random events where, you know, something will happen in the world of Classcraft. And every day, if I don't do it, the kids will say, oh, we haven't done a random event. Like everybody, they want to do it all the time. So it's a way to make learning a little bit more fun, right? So I think it's definitely worth it. I think it promotes cooperation. It promotes good habits. I can use it as extension activities. So when kids finish something, then it's like, okay, well, if you do this, I'll give you experience points in Classcraft. And they'll do it, you know, some of them. And they also have a great review game, like a boss battle, where they work together as teams to defeat a boss. And that's our review game. So before every test, we do a boss battle. And it's a lot of fun for the kids, too.
And I know you also use Nearpod.
Any
quick stuff about Nearpod?
Yeah, super quick. Nearpod is great. If you are ever just doing, like, PowerPoints or you're doing Google Slides, I think this can be a more interactive way because basically the students will sign in to a Nearpod. They'll see their screen will be the same as your screen, so they'll see all the text that's up there. So it's good if you have kids that can't maybe have a hard time seeing the front of the room or something like that. So that can be positive. But also it's interactive because I can ask questions, open-ended questions. I can have like little quizzes at the end so I can assess, you know, their learning for the day. They have a drawing feature, which I do on most of my Nearpods, and the kids love to draw something. So it's a way to, you know, get them involved. Like, oh, did I really understand, like, Valley Forge? There's a question today. Draw a picture to represent what happened at Valley Forge. Well, if I can't draw a picture, then I probably don't know what happened. But if I do draw a picture, when I see that question on a test, I might remember it better. So it allows for a lot of opportunities, but it just makes it much more interactive than the old PowerPoints that was just sit here and listen to the teacher. It involves the students a little bit more. So that's what I like about it.
All right. One thing I always like to do is for you to give advice to teachers on wanting to try something new. Hillary, do you have any advice for them?
I would say, like, don't be afraid for things to go, like, wrong. So that's something I feel like, for me personally, when I started, like, teaching, I was always so afraid for, like, something to go wrong, and I would look stupid in front of the kids and stuff. But I think, like, sometimes when things go wrong, the kids can kind of see you as, like, an actual person, which I think so often in, like, the teacher-student kind of relationship, or how the students, like, think about us as teachers, they kind of think, like, we're not actually, like, human beings and make mistakes. I know, like, I make a ton of mistakes with the kids, and I feel like having that kind of relationship and just kind of, like, admitting, like, when I've messed up is something that is more valuable to me now than it was maybe when I first started and I was so afraid to, like, do something wrong and not be seen as, like, the adult that, like, knows everything. But now just kind of, like, saying, like, hey, guys, we're going to do this again because I told you something a little bit different. I'm going to kind of revise what I told you to, like, help you learn it a little bit better. I feel like they, like, respect that, at least most of them. So,
Ben?
Yeah. And I would say I totally agree with that. And I think that's something that I have to remind myself too. And then on top of that, sort of the opposite end of the spectrum is, as you teach longer, not to get caught up in the trap of doing everything the same the whole time. So I do a lot of the things, I do a lot of similar things, but I try to add new elements all the time. So I started in the last year or so trying to do more like breakout rooms. So now we do like more breakout rooms in the class, and it's like a lot of work, but it's fun. And we always kind of have like some new projects. So it's taking, you know, taking the best from previous years, but trying to improve on it, trying to make it a little more interesting every year. So not starting from scratch. I think it's really important. Mm-hmm. I think what helps me out a lot is I preserve everything I do. We record it. Yeah. So every day we'll like record our announcements, we'll record, you know, keep all our links, do everything so it's there. But I can also think, okay, like I can, now that I have that sort of like a safety net, it gives me the freedom to try to explore and come up with something new that I want to introduce as well. So
it's almost like you're a historian.
Almost.
All right. One more reminder about when the Secrets on the Shelf.
Yes. Secrets on the Shelf. It's coming to a theater near you and the Danville Royal Theater. It's going to be on Tuesday, December 17th at 6 p.m. Everybody's welcome. It's a free screening. It's a lot of fun. The kids get excited. You get to see them on the big screen. They'll have popcorn for sale, concessions. It'll be great.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys so much. That was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. Feel free to like, share, subscribe for your imaginary bonus points. Thanks a lot.